We got to be drunk in these days in the Spirit, so immersed in the presence of God that nothing matters. So immersed in His presence that nothing matters, only to be closer to Him. Only to be closer. And even when you get closer, you want to be closer. To your flesh melts off of your body, your bones turn into dust, and you become one with Him. Oh, glory. This guy's nuts. You're right. I'm nuts. I'm nuts over Jesus. Hey, when you've been taken by the glory of God, taken to the other side, changed, filled with the Holy Spirit, the serpent comes out of you, you're going to be nuts too. Glory. Go ahead, lift your hands again. Come on. Dad, we need more. Dad, we need more of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, some of y'all, listen, I just saw some hands go down and try and pick up the old wineskin. Let it go. Come on, he just took it off of you. Now let it go. You leave that old, you leave that wineskin alone. You let that old wineskin go. I just saw people trying to pick up the old wineskin and put it on to get, no! Don't go there. No. No, there's a new wineskin. New shedding. Didn't say it was going to feel good. But when you get the new wineskin on, oh, glory. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, something's happening. You know, I just can't get enough. I'm addicted. I mean, I'm literally addicted to the presence of God. I just can't get enough. Oh, Ephesians 4. You an addict? Yes. Yes. I'm a glorified addict. For the presence of the King's heart. Whew. Glory. Okay. Are you ready? Ephesians 4 and chapter verse 11. I know we can get through this tonight. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Would you read it with me? And He Himself, Jesus, gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? Perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the perfect man, and the stature of the fullness of Christ is called divine nature. Okay? Let's go further. That we should no longer be what? Children, boneheads, idiots, ignorant, goofy, granola. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men filled with demons. Hello. In the cunning, say cunning. Craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. Everyone say grow up. In all things. Grow up in all things. Not a couple things. Not one thing, but in everything. That we may grow up in what? All things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. perfect man, which is the fullness of Christ, is called a divine nature. And the Lord wants us so badly to walk in the fullness of the divine nature. So badly. So to walk in the fullness of the divine nature, there's training. Why is there training? Because you are being trained to walk in the divine nature. The divine nature isn't being trained to walk into you. Hello. Okay, we'll go a little bit further here. Now, one of the things that he says is that we may have the unity of the faith. Now, faith we talked about before when we just did a teaching. I think it was called No Excuses. In this, we're the unity of faith. Now, faith is believing in the gospel, right? It's believing in the truth. Your faith in believing in the truth. It's amazing how many believers I run into who do not read the Word of God. It's incredible to me. Yeah, I'm a believer. And they're trying to tell what the right thing is to do. But they don't know the right thing to do because they do not read the Word. So they don't get counsel from the Word at all. And they go by what they feel. And they walk around just believing that God, Jesus paid the price so they can do whatever they want. And they have no truth in them. And they're constantly being misled instead of being led. And what happens is when a believer is walking in that arena, what happens is it brings a drag on the body of Christ. Why? Because we're so busy healing the breaches that have been caused instead of rescuing the lost. Hello. See, it says that we're to be in the unity of the faith so that every joint does its purpose, does its share. And that's why he says if you're in the unity of the faith, right? So that everybody's doing their part. Well, see, we become doing our part the more the divine nature has preeminence in your life. Now, go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Is everybody there in verse 1? Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who obtained what? To those who have what? Obtained like precious faith. He's writing to those who have obtained like precious faith. With us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the what? Divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust. So we are through the divine power of God, through the Holy Spirit, and through the promises of Christ, he has set up for me and you to be partakers of the divine nature by escaping the corruption of the lust in this world. To perfect the divine nature, in other words, God right now is perfecting the divine nature in me and you. He is perfecting it. The word perfection is an arena of where it's meaning complete. He's completing his character in us. He's completing his nature in us right now. So if you think you're going through stuff, that's why. So now, to perfect the divine nature means we are allowing the divine nature to possess us by coming to the end of the selfish nature. Are you hearing? So to perfect the divine nature means that we are allowing the divine nature to possess us by coming to the end of the selfish nature. What is the selfish nature? Self. Flesh. Carnal. Secular. That's the selfish nature. Think about it. Until a child is born again, that's all it's concerned about is me, myself, and I. It's all selfish. That's why the Bible tells us in the latter days that there's going to be perilous times, right? That there will be those who are lovers of themselves and then lovers of money. Why? Because everything is going to be associated with the selfish nature. And those who are associated and falling and walking in a selfish nature are going to cook. Because that won't get in heaven. Are you hearing? Go to Ephesians 2. So what's happening right now is we are making the exchange more. God is perfecting more of His divine nature. Now think about divine. Divine has nothing to do with this world, does it? The only thing that has to do with this world is behind. Behind. We want divine, not behind. Ephesians chapter 2. Start at verse 1. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, known as the selfish nature. According to the prince of the power of air. Now, who might that be? He's not your neighbor. He's the devil. The prince of the power of air. All right? Not that he's not living next door. Who knows? The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Why? Because the selfish nature is at work. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Selfish nature. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Now listen, grace does not give you a legal right to sin. Grace means the plan of God. When Jesus came in the fullness of grace, what did He do? He came with the plan of escape. It's amazing how many people think that grace says, okay, I can go out and hang out with the devils again. No. Grace is the plan of God for us to escape the wrath of God and eternal hell. And raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whoa! So that we can have what? The divine nature. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His what? Workmanship. What's He working in you? The divine nature. Created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, what's happening is the selfish nature of the wrath, of children of wrath, that we should... He's saying, listen, we've got to come to the end of self and this selfish nature. You know, you can really tell when you're selfish. You can tell when that other nature pops up. Me, 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 me. People manipulate, lie, steal, and do anything for self. That selfish nature. But see, God is perfecting the divine nature. And that's why there's a ripping and tearing and a moving and a grooving. So He can have His way. That's why He's known as the way. The divine nature is not of this realm. The divine nature is not of this realm. Do you know you don't belong here? Well, if you don't belong here, you belong somewhere else. You belong in the presence of God. And see, what maintains the presence of God with you, and what maintains the character of His image and likeness in you, is His divine nature. See, that's why you want more of Him. Because the divine nature is constantly trying to push out the selfish nature all the time. He's perfecting that now. Remember, He's not coming back for a blemished bride, is He? He's coming back for a perfect bride. The divine nature. Just think if everybody walked in the divine nature right now. Man, we'd be doing kicking some butt out there. I'm telling you, we'd be like-minded and everything, wouldn't we? We'd be unity and faith. See, but there's too many that have not come to the end of self or desire to or willing to do whatever it takes to come to the end of self. See, many are still fighting for their life, still caught up in emotional attachments, still caught up in past. the divine nature God is perfecting. So, what is this about? Well, it's about get ready. Get ready. Spirit tells us things to come. He's going to perfect His nature in you, whether you like it or not. You'll either live or die. I mean, do you understand that? You're going to die to yourself one way or another, aren't you? Why? Because we're coming truly to the end of that selfish nature. That fearful, wimpy, coward nature that squirms. It's disgusting. Fearful, jealous, rage, hatred, murdering nature. What does it do? It's always promoting itself because it wants, 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 wants. The thing is everything it wants everything but Him. The divine nature only wants Him and is satisfied with only Him. You all right? So the divine nature is not of this realm, is it? Its attributes consist of divine power, relationship, wisdom, knowledge, revelation knowledge, revelation, rhema. Its divine nature attributes, it consists of favor, God's favor. I'm going to repeat this. The divine nature, its attributes consist of divine power, relationship with the King, wisdom, knowledge, revelation, rhema, favor. Now you ready? Access to the strategies of the King and exposes the strategies of Satan's attacks. Why? Because you are walking in the what? Divine nature. Because of the like-mindedness of Christ. Does everybody understand? Because in a divine nature, you are more like-minded like Christ. See, this is where truly you know all things. If the divine nature begins to get more perfected in you, you'll begin to see more things, hear more things, be sensitive, be able to discern more. You'll be able to not only discern what the strategies of the devil's about to do, but God is going to give you strategies to counterattack. Why? Because you're walking in a divine nature. Divine is not of this world. So you're walking in another nature. See, that's where the fighting and the groaning is all the time, too. Because God is trying to perfect the divine nature in me and you so that has preeminence in us in every area. Hebrews 5. You know, when Jesus was here on the earth, you remember when He said, "And I saw Satan fall from heaven." Why? Because He was able to see all things, wasn't He? He said, "I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first." Why? Because He was walking in a divine nature. That's when He said, "If you see me, you see who? The Father." Because He was walking in divine. It isn't, remember, it's not some kind of silk suit, you know, or special gown. The divine nature is the Creator's nature that He created us from the beginning, the nature that He so desired us to walk in and to partake in. But see, we don't want to just partake. We want to perfect so that it's running our life all the time. So that when you're not in want anymore of worldliness, you're in want more of His presence, more glory. Where you're fighting not only to be filled with His presence, but to touch the eternal presence. Where you're delivered, healed, filled, killed, and born again. Hebrews 5. And verse 5, I think. Yeah, 5. So also Christ did not glorify Himself to become high priest, but it was He who said to Him, "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he what? He learned obedience by the things which he what? He learned obedience by the things he suffered. And having been what? Perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who what? Obey him. I think people try to erase it out of the Bible. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Now he was expressing this. Now, I want to share this again. He learned obedience by the things he what? By the things he what? Wow. But then it says that he became what? Perfect. Having been perfected, he became the what? The author of eternal salvation. So the suffering was actually producing the divine nature to perfection. We're getting somewhere. Learning obedience. In other words, you know, we got to learn the divine nature, don't we? We got to learn the divine nature. There's training. Through what? Through suffering.
Hello.
Through suffering. Training used by what? Circumstances of life where the divine nature arises above all worldly circumstances. In other words, attacks from the enemy, disappointments, false expectations, hopes, all of these things. See, the divine nature will always rise you above everything, or it won't affect you. John 17. Everyone say, I'm not of this world.
I'm not of this world.
And I thank God. John 17. Perfecting the divine nature. Glory. In verse 13. But now this is Jesus praying. Now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And as for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the what? Truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Now that is powerful. The glory that you gave me, I have given them. What is that? The divine nature. Yes. The glory that you gave me, I have given them, that they may be what? One, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect. That's what's going on right now. That they may be made what? Perfect. In other words, that's complete. In one. And that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, how are you going to be where he is? The Bible says we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Walking in a divine nature allows you to be one. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name. What's his name? Jesus. and will declare it that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. See, no, even Jesus was praying that we would master the divine nature in our life, that it would be perfected in us. He was praying to the Father that we would manifest the divine nature by obedience. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. This is a reminder of what's going on and a preparation for what's going to happen. So don't fret. Count it all joy. God ain't done with you yet. 1 Peter chapter 5, would you read it with me? In verse 5. Likewise, you younger people. Yes, you young ones. Submit and die. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders, your mother and father, and learn the ways. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Now, would you call humility a part of divine nature? Yes. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, do not become overconfident. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you're not the only one going through it. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you what? Have suffered a while. Let's read it again. After you have what?
Suffered
a while. Let's do that one more time. After you have what? Suffered a while. Then what's the next word? Perfect. Isn't that something? Establish, strengthen, and settle you or position you. And to him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. And to God be the glory. Humble is a character of divine nature. Resist the devil in the unity of faith. And let these sufferings perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle or position you to maintain the divine nature and divine communion with the King. James 4. Because resistance is futile. Comply? Does everybody comply? James chapter 4 and verse 6. For he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Wow. Submit to God and resist the devil, or resist the attacks. Draw near to God, and the divine nature will draw near to you. Keep clean and pure with the thoughts of your mind by discerning what is of God and what is the devil. Now listen. The devil will try to drain you. These are a couple of things I want to share that's important. The devil tries to drain you. He'll drain you with worldly activity. He'll drain you of your spiritual energy. And this is going to sound crazy, but when you are drained, it's hard to walk in the divine nature. I don't care what you do. When you're drained, you're in the selfish nature. Are you hearing? You get around people that are tired and drained, they're grumpy. The selfish nature is, you know. They become the roaring lion that's chasing themselves, you know. So, you know, We've got to come to a reality, you know, that even the things in the physical realm, because we're still carrying this load called flesh, that will drain you. When it becomes more active in your life, it will drain you. It's always trying to promote the selfish nature. And when you become drained, the divine nature begins to seem to drift. It's like, where are you? What's happening? Until you reload and get rest. I know myself that there's times when I'm like, man, where are you, Lord? And he says, go to sleep. What do you mean go to sleep? I've been looking for you. Yeah, well, go to sleep and you'll find me. Why? Because you're struggling now in the flesh because you're tired. Oh. You mean if I just go to sleep, you'll be there? Yeah, I'll wait for you. Every Friday, I try to take a nap. I go upstairs and I'm gone. Okay, Lil, let's go pray. You pray, I'll sleep. And then I'll get up and I'll start praying because I'll be refreshed. I'll ask him to refresh me, fill me, whatever you got to do. Because the enemy will try to drain you. So what? Then you're struggling and you're trying to work in the flesh and it's not going to happen. So he'll drain you of your spiritual energy that powers, or what I want to say, cooperates with the divine nature. Everybody got it? There is spiritual activity that generates, and there is spiritual activity that uses it up. Because we want to be able to cooperate with the divine nature. Right? Now, what do you think prayer, fellowship, worship, fasting, studying the Word of God generates spiritual energy, doesn't it? You know, even in ministry, healing and casting out devils and witnessing and overcoming attacks of the devil and warfare, and, you know, it uses up energy, doesn't it? You know, sometimes your kid will use up your energy. You know, you can walk into a place and just leave drained, like, whoa. Why? Because you've been battling so intently there and you don't even realize it. I remember one time, and you might have heard this on some other teachings and so forth, but my wife had a dream one night about three wolves that attacked. And then I went to sleep and had a dream the same night that I was in a ring. I was going to go box in a ring, and I kept telling the Lord, Lord, I'm not physically fit yet. And he's putting the gloves on me. I'm saying, Lord, I'm not ready for this yet. I haven't worked out. I haven't done nothing. And he's tightening up the gloves on me. I said, but okay, I'll do it for you. I'll go in there and I'll fight. And then I'd stop and I'd say, hold on a second. Are you sure you want me? And he's tightening up the gloves even more. And he's going. So the next morning I went and I had a meeting with a religious group. And I'm going to make a long story short. By the time I left, I was so drained. Beating off the attack of the religious spirits. The same spirits that beat Jesus. I could see them. I could feel. I could sense them. In fact, I said, Lord, what do I do? I'm just going to get on my knees and start praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, they'll kill you. Whoa. Man, I saw this huge shadow behind this one dude who was so religious. And the Lord let me know that that man is abusive to his wife, beats them with the scriptures, but he can't walk in himself because he's got no power. He's got no Holy Spirit, nothing but letter. Man, I saw this huge shadow behind him. When I got home, I barely made it home. My head was bouncing off the steering wheel. I was so drained for 2 hours straight. I was with these people. And the Lord finally made a way of escape for me. I got home. I opened the front door, fell on my face. And my wife and my mother-in-law both laid hands on me. I got filled and went to bed. And I woke up refreshed. So there are things that will spiritually drain you. You know, we can't be ignorant of these things. Why? Because we must cooperate with the divine nature. You know, people can get so goofy and just think, well, I'll just fast for 4 or 5 days and I'll stay up for 3 days and I'll do... And you can't talk to them after that. They're like, I'm waiting for the Lord. No, man, I'm waiting for the Lord to, you know, fill me in. You better go to bed. The only person I knew that stayed up for 40 days was Moses. But he was in the eternal presence of God. To him, he thought he was in there for a couple minutes. You know, one of the worst things that can happen to us is when we get into that circumstance is to fall in a surprise attack from Satan. And the Spirit is letting us know ahead of time. Let me share something with you, that when the devil sees that you're down, he doesn't back off. Well, let him get a little energy here, and then I'll get him. Come on. No. When he sees you're down, he harpoons you next. The fiery darts, hello, those little fiery darts turn into little missiles, then harpoons and grenades and an atom bomb. He is out to steal, kill, and destroy you. And the Bible tells us not to make no place for the devil. Then the next thing you're doing, you can't, it's like you're trying to grab for the divine nature. Where are you? Come on. And you got no energy. Because the devil is wiping you out. You know, what about those days when you think, oh my God, can anything get any worse? You know, those days when, man, I mean, there's such a struggle today. Can anything get any worse than what's going on now? Yes, it can. It really can. It causes people to moan, complain, and feel sorry for themselves. You know, you just step out of divine nature and you're in the selfish nature. Hello? Oh, man. And what's he doing? He's preventing the divine nature from taking prominence in you. He's draining us with the cares of the world. Listen, he did it in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? You know, you wonder how many times he nagged Eve going by there. Yo! Come on, I got something better! And go eat of the tree, yeah. And kick your butt tomorrow, dude. You know, and go, hey, yo, come on. He's holding something back from you. What about you? What about you? What about you? Yeah. What about me? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Come on, I got something for you, man. I mean, you know, he's forsaken you. Genesis 3. Come on. I got a message in a bottle. It's liquid. I've been brewing it all night for you. Yeah, he did it in the garden. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was the most what? Cunning. More cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. And he said to the woman, and he what? He said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Come on, you don't think that he was hitting her every time? Yo! He's forsaken you. Don't worry about it. I'll be your friend. Yeah. I got a lot more. Yeah. And a woman answered, big mistake. A woman answered, said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Oh, she was showing her stuff. Listen here. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, you don't think the serpent was there when God told Adam and Eve what to do? Why didn't she just say, you heard him? And walk away. Because he'd been throwing, and he was waiting for Adam not to be with his wife. Throwing. Yeah, I'm going to get her alone. I got her now. I got her attention. Yeah, got a couple bings off the head. And yes, I know I can get it. I'm just going to keep going until it happens. And Adam went out fishing one day. He didn't go fishing, all right? He went picking. Well, what do you think the trees were in there for, right? He wanted to go get dinner. And he was all by herself. And she told the serpent, she says, I'll take care of you. Then the serpent said to the woman, you won't die. God's a liar. And she went, oh, you mean he's holding something back from me? Yeah. Come on. I'm telling you, I got a message in a bottle. I got this for you. Eat this. We'll be best friends. We'll be like-minded, man. I'm telling you. Come on, look at it. Watch. For God knows that in the day you eat what I got for you, your eyes are really going to be open. They're going to really be open. Man, you've been blinded. You can't see. I'm telling you, God's holding something back from you. Now, she's walking in the divine nature. So what do you think the devil was doing? Draining her. He was what? Draining her. Why do you think they had to eat of the tree of life to maintain the divine nature? So he was what? Draining her. The more he kept shooting, the more he kept shooting, the more she was getting drained. The more she was getting drained. The more she was getting drained. And then she was trying to express it back, and she was getting drained. And she was fighting, and she was getting drained. Till she finally got convinced, deceived, and took of it. Come on. You know that in the day you eat of this, your eyes will be open and you'll be just like God Almighty, creator of all things, knowing good and evil. He didn't tell her she'd become good and evil. He just said you'd know it. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, yeah, man, it's looking good now, man. That it was pleasant to the eye, wonderful is the best looking fruit I've seen in this place. And desire to make one wise. Whoa, I could rule with this kind of wisdom. She took it, ate it, and looked for her husband and gave him one too. And he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were what? Open, and they knew that they were naked. Why? Divine nature, no more. The eternal presence gone. And they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves coverings. Now I want to share a couple things about what we need to avoid. Never underestimate your enemy. Number one, do not underestimate him. The Bible says he is the most cunning. When you find yourself in complacency, prideful, laziness, or compromise, you are being drained. Are you hearing? That's danger. The Bible tells us make no place for the devil, does it? Remember, Eve said we can't even touch it. But she was touching it. Even though she wasn't touching it, she was touching it with her thoughts, wasn't she? He was draining her. The more he can drain her, the more he could drain her, the more she became weak and could not cooperate with the divine nature. Are you hearing? Go to 2 Corinthians 11. The first thing is, do not underestimate your enemy. When you find yourself in complacency and pride, laziness, and compromise, you know something's wrong. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Is everybody there? Well, I just don't feel like it. That selfish nature overtaking. See, you come in agreement majority of the time when you're drained. Remember, you're living in a dark world, aren't you? The world is, who's the ruler of this world? Satan. It's our responsibility to stay energized. You know, like the rabbit, ding, 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 in it. The energizer. Why? That's the only way you'll be able to cooperate with the divine nature. That's why the Bible tells us to stay filled with the Spirit, right? But do not underestimate, do not be overconfident, because that will open the door. He knows when he can get you overconfident. He knows how to get you in a complacency state. He knows how to get you to compromise. See, those are little things that open the door. And he says, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. Next thing you know, you're out of position and you don't even know how you got there. And you're trying to do things and cast out devils and you're trying to fight and you can't even fight. It's like nothing's happening. In verse 1, would everybody read it? Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as a serpent did what? Deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Wow. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. His greatest weapon is deception. He knows exactly how to deceive. That's why he's the most cunning beast God created. So the first thing we want to do is never underestimate your enemy. And do not become overconfident in what you know, because he'll outwit you in a second. The Bible tells us in the second part here, number two, as a man thinks, so he is. The devil's power of persuasion or agreement by misinformation or misinformed is called a lie. Did he lie to Eve? Yes. Yes. So we must be able to discern. But see, the thing is when there's a slight confusion, when there's any, if you're drained, it's hard to hear God. But it's sure easy to hear the devil. And that you'll even think it's God speaking to you, and it's not. And you try to fight in the flesh, that selfish nature now kicks in and says, me, me, me. And the divine nature is going, come on, get charged up. Put your Christ suit on. The Bible says, put on Christ, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians 10. He has a power, the devil has a power of persuasion. He doesn't let up. He keeps trying to persuade you. See, what he does is by justification. Reasoning. Reasoning is the guillotine of faith. He begins to take the things of the world and says, but look at this. See, he begins to challenge you, and he begins to tempt you, and he begins to offer you. What he's trying to do, persuade. Look at how many times you've been offered another job that was going to pay more, and you've been trying to get persuaded to get it, get it, get it. Yeah, it's more money, come on. But it's going to move you right out of position. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, come on, read it with me. We do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The persuasion of the enemy will cause you to come in agreement with the voice of the stranger. When you come in agreement with the voice of the stranger, you make covenant. And he has a legal right to fulfill it. Why? The Bible says, two touch and agree, it comes to pass also, right? So the first thing is what? Don't underestimate your enemy. And be careful of the power of persuasion of the devil. When God has already told you something, he never interrupts himself. He doesn't interrupt himself. And then what is he going to do? He's going to lie to you. Then he's going to cause you to come in agreement. What's he after? To remove you from the divine nature that he is so afraid of. Why? Because when that divine nature is manifested in you, demons acknowledge it. They can't stand it. It's just like when Jesus walked on the shore and they all said, Son of God, what are you waiting in our time? What are you doing here? They freaked because the demons acknowledged the divine nature of God and the anointing of God. 3. Do not ignore warning signs. Too many people just scoff them over. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Especially in dreams and visions. Do not ignore warning signs. 1 Thessalonians 5. You know, so many people spend so much time trying to figure out the dream, then they toss it aside instead of going to find it and get it interpreted. Listen, you might not even have it interpreted, but you know in your spirit where it's a warning or not. You might not even know exactly what it is, but you know in your spirit it's a warning. It's either a warning, a message, or something God trying to get to you. You know. Do not ignore those warnings. See, because then the devil will try to persuade you to ignore it. Oh, it's okay. And next thing you know, bam, there it is. Oh, man, I knew it. I knew it. Too late. And then damage has been done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Is everybody there? Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are what? Unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not what? Quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. It does not say chase prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every evil form of evil. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 4, don't remain defensive. Become offensive. When you sense something happening, when that warning comes, don't go, oh, it will blow by. No, it's going to blow you up. Attack. I always believe in first strike. Don't remain defensive. Shift to attack mode immediately. Don't wait for confirmation. Well, I think I'll call such and such. Well, what do you think about this? You know, why the house is burning up, you know. You think maybe I ought to call a fire department? Too late. When any, you know, I'm telling you, I see it happen all the time. Well, what did you do? Well, I waited for confirmation. Well, confirmation blew up, man. Attack. Get off of the defensive arena and get into the offense. Intercede. Take your dominion and your authority. Don't wait. Luke 11. Is everybody there? Luke 11 and verse 17. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself falls. So what's the devil trying to do? Cause division where? In you. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger man, when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. In other words, for you, you must first bind the strong man so that you may enter and plunder the goods of the house of the evil one. Does everybody understand that? He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me does what? He scatters. He what? He scatters. Now go to Matthew 12 and I want to show you this. Matthew 12 and verse 29. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he what? First binds the strong man and then he will what? Plunder his house. In other words, you get an intercessory prayer and you use the keys of the kingdom that God has given you. You bind, you take, you attack, you bind the principalities and powers of darkness and territorial spirits. You bind those things. And as you begin to bind, God is going to begin to reveal to you any accursed items in your house that's allowing access to you. Do you understand? Once you start warfaring, things begin to open up. You'll be able to see. Things will be clearer. That's where you got to muzzle the mouth of the voice of the stranger. Bind, blind, mute, deaf them, and kick them in the butt and get them out. then you can be able to see better. Do you understand? You'll be able to hear better. All of a sudden, you'll be able to, whoa, man, that's, how did that get over here? Somebody brought something in the house. Somebody dropped something off. Whatever, that's an accursed item. It's allowing, because you cannot defeat your enemy with accursed items in your house. You'll constantly struggle. But it's an inherited, curse, man. Get rid of it. You're to be walking in divine nature, not selfish nature. See that fear of letting something go. But it means so much to me. That's good. You can hold it while you're cooking. See if it will rescue you then. You'd be whistling like a tea kettle went off. Use the word of God. Speak it. The Bible says it's powerful. Two-edged sword pierces even the spirit, soul, and body and exposes the thoughts of man. Speak it. Learn. This is a time of fighting. You're in a war. You can't sit back. You must be aggressive, not passive. The fifth thing. You ready? You must maintain a level of faith. You must maintain a level of faith. And one of the areas of maintaining a level of faith is by praying in tongues. I don't have the gift of tongues. Well, go get it. It's a gift for everybody. Jude 16. Jude 16. It's a book right before Revelation. That's why you got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, man. It's essential. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 16 it says, is everybody there? These are grumblers and complainers. Why? Selfish nature. Walking in according to their own lust. And they mouth great swelling words. Ooh, be careful what you say. Because you'll defile yourself. Flattering people with gain to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Holy Spirit. This is a bunch of religion. They mock the move of God. They don't understand it and can't comprehend it. They don't know what it's like to walk in divine nature. You get near them and pray in tongues, they run because they think it's a devil. They have no discernment. Their only concern is themselves. Why? Because it's the selfish nature that runs their lives. But thank God by His Spirit that He's willing to give the Holy Ghost to anyone who so desires and seeks, and the gifts of the Spirit where they can get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, that means tongues. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Wow. Maintain a level of praying in the Spirit. The sixth thing, Isaiah 40. You must learn to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication and the peace of God will keep you, your mind sound. Why? Because the Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. And when you're anxious, fear is involved. Want is involved. A selfish nature loves anxiousness. Yes. It dances with anxiousness. Isaiah 40. Perfecting the divine nature. That's what Dad's doing. Remember, the divine nature is not of this realm. Must come to the end of the selfish nature. But what about me? Oh, you flesh creature. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known and have you not heard? the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the what? Weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. He's going to tell you how. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who what? Those who what? Wait. Hallelujah. In other words, be still and know that he is God. And those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Praise God. It's amazing how the enemy loves to get us all entangled with foolish strategies in the area of carnality and drains us. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And the seventh one, maintain a level of fear. Now I'm talking about reverence of God. Reverence of God in Matthew 10. How do you maintain a level of fear or reverence of God? By staying filled with the Spirit. Perfecting the divine nature. Matthew 10 and verse 25. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. The divine nature God is perfecting. Through what? Suffering. Through suffering. Let him complete. Use the wisdom. What we want to do, we want to avoid these seven things. And be careful. Do not underestimate your enemy. Be careful of the power of his persuasion. Don't ignore warning signs. And become a first striker. Maintain a level of faith. Wait on the Lord. And maintain a level of fear. Why? So you can maintain the divine nature in whatever you do. Remember, the devil's going to try to drain you. Now, I don't want everybody home sleeping all day, all right? Well, I want to maintain a divine nature. I think I'll take 4 days off of work and sleep. No, that's not what he's talking about. The Spirit is telling us things to come. He's preparing us. So now you can discern more about the strategies of the enemy in the area when he begins to drain you. We want to walk in a divine nature. Divine nature. Which allows us more dominion and revelation. Power. And I can tell you this, a lot more joy. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Master. We allow you, Father, to perfect us, that your divine nature can be perfected in us. Lord, help us to come to the end of the selfish nature. And Lord, you said that you would know them by the fruits. So Holy Spirit, elbow us, kick us, whatever you got to do when we see the selfish fruits begin to manifest, so that we can walk in the divine nature. And come to the selfish nature, end of it. Lord, our hope is in you. We ask for your forgiveness of every area where we've allowed the selfish nature to run our life. So we give you our life, and we ask for the divine nature to take preeminence, that we may be one with you as you are with the Father. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.